To make a donation, visit biblicallycorrectpodcast.org/donate. And if you enjoy this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. Thank you for your support. The Jesus you don't want to follow. Welcome to the Biblically Correct Podcast. Shalom, y'all. This is the Biblically Correct Podcast, teaching biblical correctness in a biblically incorrect world. My name is Kevin Jeffrey. I am a Jewish follower of the Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, and I love teaching the scriptures. When we come to Yeshua, when we believe in him and receive his salvation, it's because we've come to see our deep eternal need and have realized the great treasure and benefit in accepting what he's offering. As beneficiaries of this, God then grants us his generous and gracious gifts, not the least of which is our becoming recipients of his faithful and unending love. He says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and my steadfast love shall not depart from you." Yeshua says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." And John reminds us that we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. So for those whom God loves, he loves us abundantly and completely. And not only do we come to know that abounding, limitless love, but we also receive his loving care. The word says that under his wings, you will find refuge. And when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. It says that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And Yeshua beckons us in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God's deep and abiding love, care, protection, and provision for us arrests us in our very souls. The knowledge and reality of Yeshua's sacrifice fills and touches us in our inmost being, producing thoughts and feelings of appreciation, gratitude, thankfulness, passion, and profound, overflowing joy. This is the Jesus that most believers know and are more than happy to follow. The one who abundantly loves and gives generously, the one who is gentle and lowly in heart, the one whose yoke is easy and burden is light. But while all this is true and is more than good reason to devote our lives to God and to love him with all that we have and are, the problem is that believers have also mistaken that unheavy burden and easy yoke for a walk with Yeshua that is free of personal cost and responsibility. Far too many today have mistaken the gentle Jesus that makes you feel loved and promises to improve your life for the full, complete, and demanding Yeshua of the Bible. This is what I'd like to talk to you about today, about how we're called not to be like the mass of believers who follow Yeshua selfishly just because they want something from him, but to be the kind of disciples who follow him self-sacrificially, who love and serve and obey him simply because he's our master. I want to introduce you today to the Jesus that most believers don't want to follow. Now, Yeshua's call to follow him is fundamental to his message to us as believers. For example, when he first met the brothers Peter and Andrew while they were fishing in Matthew 4:19-20, the very first thing he said to them was, "Come follow after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately, having left the nets, followed him. And in John 10:27, Yeshua says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And this is something that Yeshua repeats multiple times in different contexts, all conveying the idea that he wants us to go with him, not just spiritually or mentally, but in our actions, to change where we go and how we behave, so that we're walking and acting in line with who he is and what he's done. But what many believers either don't realize or purposely overlook is that when Yeshua tells us to follow him, at no time does he indicate that it will be self-serving, comfortable, or easy. Let's take a look at a passage in Luke chapter 9 in which three different disciples tell Yeshua that they're committed to following him, but then not-so-gentle Yeshua responds to them with a dose of reality and some rebuke. You might even see something of yourself in one of these disciples. The passage begins in verse 57. And as they were going on with the road, a certain one said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Yeshua said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have places to nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere he may recline his head." And he said to another, "Be following me." And this one said to him, "Sir, permit me, having gone away, to first bury my father." And Yeshua said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But you, having gone away, publicize the reign, the kingdom of God." And another also said, "I will follow you, sir, but first permit me to say goodbye to those in my house." And Yeshua said to him, "No one, having put a hand on a plow and looking back, is fit for the reign of God." So let's take these one at a time, and we'll start with the first very enthusiastic disciple who tells Yeshua, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Yeshua's response indicates that this disciple doesn't really know what he's signing up for. He responds by saying that foxes and birds have their homes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to recline his head. In other words, Yeshua is pointing out to the disciple that he's functionally homeless. Yeshua was constantly traveling, never staying in one place for too long, and having no place to live that he called his own. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, speaking metaphorically, "For you know the unmerited favor of our master Yeshua the Messiah, that though being rich, because of you, he became poor, so that by that poverty, you would become rich." In other words, for our purposes, Yeshua's way of life was voluntary. He lived the itinerant and meager way that he did for our sake and for the sake of the good news. For that disciple to then say that he would follow Yeshua wherever he goes meant that he would literally be taking on that nomadic lifestyle himself, that he would need to give up whatever conveniences or amenities to which he was accustomed and live life on the road. The point is, in this case, following Yeshua meant a certain level of sacrifice, discomfort, and uncertainty. Yeshua was warning the disciple that in his enthusiasm, to not have illusions or imaginations about what following Yeshua means, but to count the cost. He wanted the disciple to seriously consider what he would be foregoing, and to reflect on and consider his true level of commitment. Yeshua doesn't want disciples who will follow him fervently and passionately for a time, only to flame out when the romance and novelty wear off. Now, the second disciple isn't quite so enthusiastic as the first. And this one tells Yeshua that before following him, he wants to first go and bury his father, the presumption being that his father is not yet dead, but close to dying. And Yeshua's response to this disciple is comparatively harsh, saying to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead, but you publicize the reign of God." Now, while it's possible that this disciple is just trying to make excuses, regardless, Yeshua is using the nature of the disciple's delay to make his point. If we're to understand "allow the dead to bury their own dead" to be implying "allow the spiritually dead to bury their own dead," then the master is challenging the disciples' priorities. Yeshua is indicating that following him is far more important than maintaining ties to those who don't follow him, even if it's your dying father. This appears to be a similar sentiment to what Yeshua communicates in Luke 14:26, when he says, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yet even his own life, he is not able to be my disciple. I've discussed this passage several other times, most recently in episode 65. So what Yeshua is teaching us here then is that following him isn't just something we can just store alongside our lives or keep in a corner or a closet only to visit when it's convenient, or worse, only when we need something. Following Yeshua is supposed to be a priority, the priority, with no competition whatsoever. On the contrary, rather than the disciple doing what he wants and returning to a spiritually dead situation, Yeshua tells him to choose to be spiritually alive, to publicize the reign of God, to proclaim the good news, to make following Yeshua his most prominent preoccupation. And finally, the third disciple, who commits to following Yeshua like the first one did, also asks permission for a postponement, like the second one did. This one requests that before following Yeshua, he first be allowed to go and say goodbye to his family. So his appeal is somewhat similar to that of the second disciples. But this time Yeshua replies, "No one having put a hand on a plow and looking back is fit for the reign of God." So with this markedly different response, Yeshua is indicating that this disciple is distracted and enticed by his past, the life he used to live before Messiah. And because of this, Yeshua is addressing and questioning the disciple's commitment as a true follower, and therefore his fitness for the reign of God. Of such a disciple, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, "For it would have been better for them not to have acknowledged the way of the righteousness, than having once acknowledged it, to turn back from the holy command handed down to them. That of the true adage has happened to them, a dog returned to his own vomit, and a sow having bathed herself went back to rolling in the mud." In other words, following Yeshua means setting your heart, mind, hands, and feet solely on him. It means focusing on what's ahead and leaving your past behind, even if that past includes a family that you love but isn't willing to follow with you into the Master's service. Yeshua is also indicating here that this disciple has already started the work of being a follower. So he's exhorting him to finish what he started, to not get diverted or drawn away by what he misses about his old life, but to keep his hand on the plow and to keep moving forward in his commitment and work for the kingdom. To follow Yeshua, then, means to fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of faith, to not turn either to the left or the right, to not allow interests, activities, temptations, or commitments from your former life to turn you aside. As a follower of Messiah, you must move in only one direction, toward him. Any other direction you choose makes you unfit to enter the kingdom of God. So in just this one passage alone, we meet a Yeshua who is intolerant of his disciples, who are either unprepared or unwilling to follow him without hesitation. This isn't a casual, low-stress arrangement for Yeshua. He isn't willing to waste his time coddling or wooing us into making and keeping a lifelong commitment. If he calls you and you're unwilling, he's moving on. If you say you'll go, but then find some reason not to, he's not going to wait. He doesn't care how strongly you feel about following him. He only cares that you follow through. He doesn't care how much you feel like you love him, or are enamored with him, or worship him, or read God's word. He only cares if you're going to follow him by doing what he says and putting God's word into action. Yeshua isn't interested in being your co-pilot, or sidekick, or butler, or benefactor. He's already given you all he has to give. Now it's your turn to give, and he wants you to make him your priority, your preoccupation, your purpose. But Yeshua that believers don't want to follow is the one who says to the rich man, if you want to be perfect, go away, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Matthew 19:21. The Yeshua that believers don't want to follow is the one who says to Peter, Kepha, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want. And he said this, signifying by what death Kepha would glorify God. And then he said, be following me. John 21:18-19. The Yeshua that believers don't want to follow is the one who says in Matthew 10:38-9, whoever does not take his execution stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. And in Matthew 16:24, the master says again, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his execution stake and follow me. The Yeshua that believers don't want to follow is the one who insists that we give up whatever we love the most to follow him. He requires us to be single-hearted and selfless about following him. He compels us to willingly follow him in his example of death to self and self-sacrifice. And he calls us to deny ourselves, to make ourselves non-existent, to have no will or wants of our own, to put down our preconceptions, preferences, and priorities, and to pick up the light and costly burden of following him. To this execution stake that Yeshua tells us to take up, Paul replies in Galatians 2:19-20, with Messiah I have been crucified, and I no longer live, but Messiah lives in me. And he exhorts us to this self-sacrificial commitment in chapter 5, verse 16, so that by the Spirit, the things that you want, these you may not do. To follow Yeshua means to bear the weight and responsibility of carrying his name. He didn't save us so that we can live a life of comfort, ease, and security, so that we can feel happy and lovingly embraced and content. Not that we won't experience those things. He saved us because he loves and cares for us, yes, but also so that we can share his burden, so that we can do the will of the Father, put our faith into action, and work hard and selflessly for the salvation and the provoking to love and good actions of others. As the Messiah Yeshua gave up his life for ours, so are we called to follow and give up our lives for him. There's an account of Yeshua in John chapter 6, where he miraculously fed the 5,000, after which he went off by himself, then walked across the sea to the other side. The next day, all those people were desperately looking for him. And beginning in verse 24, it says, when the crowd saw that Yeshua was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves entered into the little boats and came to Capernaum looking for Yeshua. And having found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Yeshua answered them and said, amen, amen, I say to you, you look for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves of bread and were satisfied. Work not for the food that is perishing, but for the food that is remaining to life age enduring, which the Son of Man will give to you. So the crowd crammed themselves into a bunch of little boats and followed Yeshua to the other side of the sea. They wanted to find Yeshua so badly that, as my son Hosea says, they literally sailed across the sea looking for him. But according to Yeshua, they passionately pursued him this way, not because they saw signs, not because they understood who he really was, or because they loved him or desired to serve him, but because they wanted something from him. As Yeshua says, it was because they ate and were satisfied. And all they wanted was for him to give them more. And this precisely describes the kind of believer who doesn't want to follow the true, complete, biblical Yeshua. The Yeshua you don't want to follow, but need to, isn't willing to just feed you and keep you satisfied. Yeshua literally says he wants you to work for your food, for the only food that will last forever. As a disciple and true follower of Messiah, you are called to follow a Yeshua who wants you to seriously count the cost of your discipleship. He wants you to know exactly what he expects of you, to be comfortable with discomfort and uncertainty, to have no higher priority than serving him, no preoccupation for him to compete with, to follow him without hesitation, simply because he's your master, to hear and pay attention to and do his commands, to follow the teachings not of any man, but of God's word, to die to yourself, your conveniences, your ease, and your preferences and predilections, and to live your life not looking backward with longing at all that you've given up for Yeshua, but looking forward to all that you can give, not just in your heart, but in your commitment to the way you live for him. Paul teaches us in Philippians 3:7-14, "But what things were gains to me, these I have counted to be loss because of the Messiah, and consider them to be excrement, so that I may gain Messiah and be found in him, in order to know him and the power of his rising again, and the sharing of his sufferings, being conformed to him in his death. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have laid hold of it, but rather this one thing, forgetting indeed the things behind and stretching forth to the things in front of me. I pursue it to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Messiah Yeshua." To gain Messiah, he expects us to forget and leave everything behind, to consider everything we've had and been as loss and waste, because he has a true higher calling for us in God. Yeshua is calling us not to live swaddled like infants, bundled up in a blanket of his love, but instead to be bound up to him in his suffering and death, so that we may know him and the power of his resurrection, that we may pursue him to the mark for the prize. Don't settle for an easy Jesus, whose only expectation of you is to love and worship him and to be abundantly blessed in return. Stretch out your hand to Yeshua, not because you want something from him, but follow him because you want to find him and to give him absolutely everything you have. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Biblically Correct Podcast. If you like this episode and want to see us make more, then we need your help. Visit our website at biblicallycorrectpodcast.org to support the work of Perfect Word Ministries and MJMI through your much-needed donations. And of course, don't forget to rate, review, share, follow, or subscribe to the podcast to receive notifications whenever a new episode is posted. If you have any questions about this teaching, or if there are any other topics you'd like to see me cover, shoot me an email at kevin@perfectword.org. That's kevin@perfectword.org. Until next time, remember that every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for refuting, for setting aright, and for instruction that is in righteousness, so that the man of God may be fully equipped, having been completed for every good act. Shalom.